Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I love this song. I love it at Christmas because it's written as a Christmas song. But it's one of those that you can hear any time of the year to me. And when you hear Mary, Did You Know? And you can just imagine when she's holding that baby. She knew because she'd been told from the angel what was coming, but did she really understand what she was holding in her arms, what he was going to do? And that little baby was going to be her Savior. Sing it, will you?
Did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy, he will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. That your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule all nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's pearl? This sleeping child you're holding, he is the great I am.
Guess if I were going to have a text, it may be out of Job chapter 24, but I must confess to you, I really do not have a particular text. You're welcome to turn from text to text with me, but I'm going to start in Psalms chapter 104, in Psalm chapter 104, and then we'll go from there, and you're welcome to listen to when I change text and I quote verses, or, you know, you're welcome to turn with me. It's just up to you. But I was actually about 3 or 4 years ago, I considered this topic of the candy cane. And every year that's come around, something happened and I wasn't able to preach this message. Now, I don't believe this is any great revelation I'm about to share with you, but I enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy it. It's for me, I thought it was cute. I thought it was well-grounded, but of course, anytime we go into God's Word, I think it's well-grounded. But I just enjoyed looking at the candy cane for a minute because, you know, they're sweet, right? And these candy canes, I'll say this again in a little bit, but they come in all kinds of different shapes, and sizes. Sometimes you can get them with little curls on them. And sometimes they come in little cups, and they're straight, you know, and they're not as hard on the surface as others. They're kind of soft, and you suck on them and lick on them a little bit, and they dissolve. And then, of course, sometimes they're white, red, and sometimes they're white and green, and then white and purple, and purple and green and red. And my goodness, I've got some here. I've never seen these colors before, but they've got green and blue and yellow, and this particular candy cane is shaped like a regular candy cane. And I tell you, I haven't tried these, but I know they're good because my daughter tried to swipe them off my desk a while ago. And the lady at the drugstore, Lisa, picked these up for me this morning. And she was at the drugstore, probably picking up drugs. And the lady said that these were really good. So I'm just saying, they come in all kinds of varieties. And there's a lot to be said about the candy cane. It's really practically almost pure sugar. There's probably no reason you would eat a candy cane if you were health conscious. But they're sweet. They're sweet. I've got some on my desk that Lisa brought me, and they're broken. You know, they lost a little curl on the end of it like that. So they can't be used. But they're still sweet, these candy canes are. But I was thinking about a candy cane and how sweet it is. And it reminded me of Psalm 104 about the candy cane of meditation. Now, just bear with me, and I'll get going here in a minute. Like I said, this is no great revelation, but I enjoyed reviewing this, and you take with it what you will. You go home and say, man, that was fun, that was cute, that was great, that was wonderful, fantastic. Whatever you want to take home with it, you go ahead and take home. But the candy cane of meditation, the Bible says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. My meditation of him shall be sweet. And we talked about just a minute ago, there's really no nutritional value to this candy cane as per se, but the candy cane of meditation, there is some great value because the Bible says, at my meditation of him shall be sweet. And what is the result? I will be glad in the Lord. All of a sudden, we're glad in the Lord. And that is set outside of our circumstances. You ever been there? You ever been there when you get into the slumps of life and you read a little bit of God's word and you begin to meditate on that thing? I want to tell you that the candy cane of medication, right, at least has got me thinking about drugs, of meditation will make you glad in the Lord. I wonder if you don't mind. I'm going to run a couple of these candy canes to somebody. They couldn't be here this morning for hear the choir. They were at somebody's house. They were sick. And I want to give these to y'all. They're good, brother. Hope you're not diabetic. But I'm telling you, the candy cane of meditation will make you glad in the Lord. I remember, and maybe I've shared this with you, but I had someone come to me and ask me a question concerning the Bible. And I don't want to go into detail, but the question they asked me based on their life circumstance, describe them in the Bible as being cursed. And they said, this is me. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. But the Bible says because of this, which I didn't do, somebody else did, I am cursed. The Bible says it, preacher. What are you going to tell me about that? And men, ladies, I really didn't know what to say. And I said, let me meditate upon this and see what God has to say. And folks, I want to tell you, I began to meditate and pray over that thing. And God, now listen to me. Sometimes you can't get it out of a commentary. Sometimes you can't get it off of a preaching, tell my age here, a preaching tape or DVD or CD or any of the other DVRDs. Sometimes you can't even get it from your Sunday school teacher. Or in this case, this person came to me. You may not be able to get it directly from your pastor. But I want to tell you that when we take time to meditate on the Lord, He'll reveal some things to us. I'm not talking about this hokey charismatic stuff. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about when you and I meditate upon God's word, and He is our Savior, and say, help us, reveal something to us, and then He does. I want to tell you, God revealed the answer to me. Like I said, I couldn't find it in a commentary. I could have picked up a phone and called 100 different preachers, and they would have all told me the same thing. I had to hear from the Lord. And I want to tell you, I was in the yard walking up and down the driveway when God showed me what I needed to tell that individual. And I want to tell you, I was glad in Him. And what a blessing when I was able to go to that individual and say, yes, this is what it says, but understand this and what God has told us. I want to tell you, He reveals Himself, and you'll be glad for it if you'll meditate upon Him. So that's the sweet candy cane of Lisa's got me saying medication. Meditation. We're going to get off the M words. Then we see the candy cane of God's word. God wants us to be sweet in word and in disposition. Now, folks, we're in this old flesh, and sometimes we fail. But let me tell you what the Bible says about God's word. He tells us in Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something about the candy cane of God's word. It is great. God's word truly is, I believe, candy cane sweet. It's sweet because it's for your spiritual life. If you're dragging spiritually, grab a hold of God's word and lick on it for a while. Amen? Just enjoy it, Brother Bill. The candy cane of God's word. It's sweet. It's sweet for your spiritual condition. It's sweet for your education. Before my day, as I was growing up, I used to hear the old preachers preach against, about the one-room schoolhouses and how the teachers taught straight out of the Bible. In those days, the education, the tool that was used most of all, was God's holy word. So just because you humanists have pushed it out of the schools, just because the liberal theologians have pushed much of it out of the so-called churches, it doesn't mean that it's not good or sweet for education, because it is. If the scientists would just read God's word, they could put to rest much of what they're trying to discover. They kill me. We want to find out where we came from and where we're going. Go to Genesis. It's where we came from. Go to Isaiah. Go to Daniel. Go to Ezekiel. Go to Revelation, and you'll find where we're going. It's good. It's sweet for our education. It's sweet for our indoctrination. I had a young man come in the office Thursday, and he was really bragging on the fact that he was spoken in tongues. And I said, well, we don't allow it here at Westside. He said, well, why not? I said, well, didn't you see where Paul said in so many words that it's better to say two or three words that you can understand than 1,000 you can't. I said, you see, Paul wrapped up the dispensation of tongues. He said, at this point on, fellas, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he said it, no more. So this is it. Our indoctrination must come from the sweet candy cane of God's word. Tell you something else is good for motivation. You hear that? You say, I'm just not motivated to do what I used to do for the Lord. Get in the word. Grab a hold of the candy cane of God's word, and he'll motivate you. Well, I find myself not really wanting to be with God's people in God's house. Get in the word. He'll motivate you. Well, preacher, I used to have a deep burden for the lost, but now I find myself not as concerned as I used to be. Get in the word. He'll motivate you. The reason I say he'll motivate you is because in the book of John, Jesus Christ is the word. Well, we haven't fun yet. The candy cane of God's word will direct you. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. You've seen, I'm without direction. I go this way and that way. I, Everything seems to be fluid in my life. Get in the Word. It'll direct you when you need direction. And here's what you may ask. Preacher, I need direction in this area of my life. Or preacher, I need direction in this area of my life. Where do I read for that direction? I want to tell you that you don't necessarily have to read a particular scripture, a particular verse or chapter to get direction for your need. God can take any verse in the Bible and through the Holy Spirit direct you. I'm saying this thing is good. The candy cane of God's Word, it's sweet for our spiritual condition, our education, our indoctrination, our motivation, our direction. Hey, it's good for our personal and business relationships. We read the Word of God. It will help us navigate through the mind. You know, life is tricky. But I think the largest and the trickiest minefield that the Christian walks through is personal and business relationships. Amen. God, through the candy cane of His Word, will help you. I want to say this. The sweet candy cane of God's Word will help you in your depression. There's something about getting in the Word of God and reading His Word when we're scraping rock bottom, to open it up against our will, because when depression strikes, the world gets dark and you want to crawl under the bed and hide. But force yourself, trust God enough to open up the sweet candy cane of His Word and have a good time with it. Let Him help you to forget about your circumstances. I tell you, the sweet candy cane of God's Word is sweet and good for personal reflection. I had a gentleman come in my office not long ago, and he said this. He said, I know I'm wrong, but I'm not going to change it. He said, I know what the Bible says, but I can't. This is where I am, and I'm not changing it. I'm not going to do it. I know I should do A, B, and C, but I'm not. Personal reflection. You know, it sounds pretty harsh when somebody says, I know what God's Word says, but I'm not going to do it. But I want to tell you, in love, that I appreciate the man just being honest with me. Because the truth is that probably every one of us is guilty of saying to the Lord, I know what you're saying, but I ain't going to do it. My agenda is more important to me than your agenda, O Lord. So the Bible exposes these flaws, and too many times we don't want to partake of this sweet candy cane of God's Word because we don't want to face the reflection. Am I preaching? The sweet candy cane of God's Word. Now here it is, boys. It's sweet for application. If we will just take what God's Word is telling us and apply it. So much of the troubles of this life would melt away. You say, preacher, Our troubles will melt away? Yes, in a large sense, yes. Will we have more trouble down the road? Yes. What do we do? Make biblical application. Take a bite. It's good for you. The candy cane of God's word. I want to tell you something else about the candy cane. I was reading after a fella concerning the candy cane, and he said something that stuck with me. He said, how would you like to buy a candy cane and then find out that although the first inch of it was peppermint, the second inch suddenly tasted like fish oil? I'm calling this the Laodicean candy cane. The Laodicean candy cane. And the truth is, I can't buy enough candy canes to give each one of the Laodicean Christians a candy cane. We're in it. We're wrong. Just because we're in the Laodicean church age doesn't mean that we are to participate. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 says this, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would work cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Folks, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to us. We better shut up and listen up. Jesus is trying to tell us something. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, thou art miserable, thou art poor, thou art blind, and thou art naked. Ladies and gentlemen, the church age that we live in today is wretched, is miserable, is poor, is blind, is naked. But we come and we go like there's nothing to walking with God, with absolute minimal commitment to the things of Christ. I'm telling you, we have decided to participate and partake of the Laodicean candy cane. And we're licking it up, boys. We eat one and we say, man, that lady at the drugstore wasn't lying. That was good. Go get me another box of that stuff. And we're eating up the Laodicean sugar cane and just having a good time with it. The whole world's going to hell around us. Christians are hurting, and they come into the house of God and they need encouragement, and they look around, and those that God had intended on being there to help that brother and sister in Christ through their crisis is nowhere to be found. What are they doing? They're home, sucking on the Laodicean candy cane. I heard a pastor, he wrote this. I want to read it to you. He said, recently I talked to a man I will call Mr. Lukewarm, for he is neither cold nor hot. He says he's a Christian, but seldom attends church. He says, I'm under a great deal of tension where I work, he explained, and often go fishing on the weekends for relaxation. Church is all right, But a person can't do everything, you know. Mr. Lukewarm also had an uneasy conscience about his giving. For he continued, I put a dollar or two in the offering plate whenever I go. And I think that's all God can expect of me. If I get a tenth of my income, I would have to give more than $2,000. You just don't know how expensive it is for me to maintain my cabin at the lake and pay dues to keep my membership at the country club and the bowling league. Anyway, churches put too much emphasis on money sometimes. I get so disgusted with this talk about sacrificing for Christ that I feel like quitting altogether. You know, that fella, he'll be the first one to run to the church when his finances go south and ask the church for a handout. Amen, preacher. Mr. Lukewarm was a God robber. He had his priorities set up. We may not have a membership at the country club. We may not bowl. We may not have a cabin. We may not go to the lake or to the ocean and spend God's money. But if we are not giving what God tells us to give, you, non-tither, I love you, but you are partaking of the Laodicean candy cane. Your priorities are in the wrong order. I'm not suggesting for a minute that if you tithe, you're going to be a millionaire. God tells us that he'll bless the tither. He tells us he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he tells us through the psalmist that his children never beg bread. What I have found over the years that hinges on our tithing. Because tithing is an act of obedience, Christians. And if you're not tithing, you're not obedient. If you're not tithing, you're lying. Why do you say that, preacher? Because I assume that everybody tithes. I assume that everyone gives according to the scriptures. And that means, if you're not tithing, you're lying to me. Hello. Anybody want a sugar cane? A candy cane up here? That's the Laodicean candy cane. Don't worry, folks. We're almost done. Then I noticed something about candy canes. I noticed something that candy canes are everywhere this time of year. You don't have to look far to get one. You go to the drugstore, you'll find boxes and bags of candy canes. You go to the grocery store and you will find the boxes and the bags of candy canes. They're everywhere this time of year. Before I say anything else about that, I want to let you know what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 23. Now these be the last words of David. The son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. David, the sweet psalmist in the canon of Scripture, His Psalms were branded upon the pages of God's holy word. Now, we cannot be the psalmist of Israel as David, but we can be the psalmist of Newnan, Georgia. That's right. We can allow the sweet Spirit of God in our tongue. Therefore, we will be ensured that the words that will come out of our mouths will be as sweet and refreshing as a candy cane on Christmas morning. You know, you reach up there and pull it off the tree. Opening gifts, you got that candy cane in your mouth. Just having a good time. Well, let me tell you about the sweet cane or candy cane of being available. Before I do, I want you to listen to this. Listen to this, because I'll just be honest with you. I've never seen it before until the last week. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, truly, you ready for this? Truly, the light is sweet. Who's the light? Truly, the light is sweet. Now, keep that in mind, Christians. Truly, the light is sweet. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and you know what he had to say? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all. There's that word all again. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may see you glorifying your Father which is in heaven. Your lost neighbors are watching you. Your lost co-workers are watching you. Your lost friends are watching you. Your lost enemies, and you've got them if you've done anything for God, are watching you. Let your light shine before men. Christians, the light is Christ. The title is unsuitable, even to the highest of the prophets. The light must be applied by our Lord to his servants only as they shine with his light upon the world. His light, his word in our tongue. That's the candy cane of availability. We must. Christians, we must be available. We cannot see the privilege. We cannot see, or can we see, or can we not see the privilege of being used by the light, being used by the Christ to shine the light, to shine the Christ. Let us approach this privilege with zeal. Men, tell your wives. Men, tell your children. It's a privilege, one that is undeserved, that we are called to be light by the light. I'm talking about the sugar, the candy cane availability that God has laid upon you and I, the responsibility to shine to a lost and a dying world. I'm just talking about what I see in the candy cane. Just a lot there, isn't there? Brother, we just need to be a light. You know what we need to do? Take that light of the world, hand it off to lost people. Can I tell you, sometimes we need to be a light to the saved. Yesterday, we all went to South Carolina to Lisa's family's Christmas. And afterwards, we had to go north from there and meet up with Rebecca and Danny boy over there. We want to take up a love offering for Danny after church so we can buy a razor, amen. He's broke, has no money, can't buy a razor. So we're going. I'm just kidding. Daniel's fine. He doesn't need a love offering, trust me. But you know, this thing, anyway, we were in South Carolina, and we went to a restaurant that we like to go to when we're up there because we don't have one here. It used to be really good. It's slipping. I don't recommend it anymore, but we used to go to Fats Cafe every time we go up there because it was just food was used to be excellent. And they had something new on the menu, and I decided I was going to try it. And I did. And it was no good. But I ordered it. It wouldn't have been right for me to say, here, take this back. Because there was nothing wrong with the food. I just didn't like it. And so I told the waiter, a young man, and I said, I don't like this. He said, well, I'll get you something else. I said, no, I ordered it. You shouldn't have to eat it. I'm the one that ordered it, you know. And he said, well, I'll take it back. I said, no, no. So I picked at it and ate some of the cooked carrots out of it, that kind of stuff. But I got to tell you, he came to me with the bill, and he had taken half off the bill and didn't charge us for our drinks. And he told me at first he had talked to his manager about taking half off my food. But he said, I didn't eat supper tonight. And we are given so much money per evening toward a meal here. He said, and I wanted you to have my meal tonight. He said, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. He said, and God bless you. I got to tell you something. What should have been a $30 meal cost us $14. And I got to tell you, that impressed upon me and made me so grateful. I'm a born-again Christian, but it was so good to see the light shine through that young man. Listen, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. But I do want to share with you this. I tell you what I'm going to do. If you don't mind, I'm going to stop right there. Let's let our light, let's let this sugar cane, this candy cane that God has given us, let's make ourselves available to the Lord. You've got my light, Lord. You've got my light. I'm available to you if you'll have me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand. We don't even have to have music start. You say, I want to be that candy cane of availability to the Lord. Christian, the altar is open for you tonight. It's open for you as we sing. As I said, we don't have to play music for you to hit the altar. We don't have to have singing for us to make a decision to be available to the Lord. The Holy Spirit just nudges upon us and says, be the candy cane of availability for me. Christians, if you'll make this decision, if you'll make this decision, all these other decisions you're fighting with and wrestling with, they go away. Because once we commit, we cut the cord. Once we commit, we cut the cord of the Laodicean church age. Once we commit, we cut the cord of rebellion when we say, God, well, I won't do it. I know what your word says. I know what you want, but I'm not going to do it. So come get the candy cane of availability and let your light shine for a lost and a dying world.